Good morning. Please join together with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, from our Bible reading, we are reminded you are a God who acts in history, but you're also a God who acts in our lives, and you are God that continues to communicate to us through your living word. As we pause to consider and meditate your word, help us to mark, read, and inwardly digest your word and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit to glorify your name. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you worry about the future. Do you worry about your daily needs for the long-term future? Do you worry about your health in the years to come? Are you worried about the many social and political changes that are happening so fast here in Australia, or perhaps in your own country of origin? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, the context of this particular word from Jesus is that as believers, you and I can trust in our sovereign God implicitly to supply all our daily needs. And so the attitude that we should have as we trust God day by day might well be expressed in the words of this hymn. "Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand." Now, what do you think this hymn teaches us? Even though we may not fully understand it, we believe that the future is in God's hands. What is more, we don't face the future alone. God holds our hand and guides us each step of the way. Two Sundays ago, we commenced this current sermon series on the book of Daniel. In about the year 605 BC, Daniel and his three friends and many other Jews were taken captive to Babylon. And they were retrained there in Babylon to serve the Babylonian king so far away from their own homeland. Now just try for a moment to put yourself in Daniel's shoes. Would you still have remained faithful to God, the God of Israel, who is the only one true God? Or would you have chosen to serve the gods or the Babylonians? Because that would have been the most expedient thing to do, especially to guarantee your future. Now, we saw in the previous sermon on chapter 1 of the book of Daniel that Daniel and his friends politely refused to eat from the king's table. They wanted to indicate that they depended on God rather than depending on the king. Now, Daniel did not really understand God's purposes for why he and the others were in Babylon, but he believed that God had a plan. He believed that God was in control. He was still in control. And he believed that whatever happened, God would provide for their needs. Now, Daniel was probably around about 18 years old when he was brought to Babylon as a captive. And we know that he was there in his 70s when the Babylonian kingdom was defeated by the Medo-Persian kingdom. And throughout all this time, a very long period of time, he resolutely trusted in God, and he also faithfully served his foreign masters. This was because he believed that God had placed these foreign masters over him for God's own purpose. Now today we're going to look briefly, and I add briefly, at chapters 2 and 7 of the book of Daniel. You'll find that chapter 2 narrates how Daniel told the Babylonian king, whose name is Nebuchadnezzar, what the king had dreamt and the meaning and the interpretation of that dream. And this was around about the year 603 BC. Whereas chapter 7, which we didn't read today, records the dream or the vision that God gave Daniel about the future. And this was during the first year of the Babylonian king Belshazzar. And we think it's around about the year 1553 BC, or in rough terms, 50 years later. Now, there are several important lessons that we want to learn from these two chapters. And the first is, who holds the future? In chapter 2, verse 2, mentions some technical names or words: magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. And these represent different groups of so-called experts who were, at that time, believed to be able to tell the future. The king relied on these advisors so that he could plan for the future. For example, when to wage war against an enemy. Now, if you go to Singapore, and you go to the Waterloo Street area of Singapore, you'll find that there are many, many, many fortune tellers who set up their stalls on the footpath. And they attract many, many customers. Why is this? This is because people want to know what the future holds for them. They want to know when to invest, when to sell, when to go on that overseas trip, and so on. And do you know that there actually are people, not very many, but there are some, who believe that they themselves can direct future events by their actions in the present. For them, it's not so much they want to know the future so that they can know what best to do now. They somehow believe that they can make the future happen according to what they desire. Well, in chapter 2, if you read the whole chapter, it explains how God graciously revealed to Nebuchadnezzar via a dream what was going to happen in the future. Now let me summarize the part of the passage we didn't have time to read. Nebuchadnezzar was greatly troubled by this dream, so he summoned his advisors, the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the astrologers. He promised to richly reward them if they would tell him his dream and then its interpretation. And he also said if they were unable to do so, he would punish them severely. And of course, no human being could do that. And these advisors asked the king, tell us the dream. Tell them the dream, and then they would interpret it for the king. And in verse 11 we read, what the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. At this the king was so furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. All the wise men, without exception. So this meant also the wider group of wise men, which would include Daniel and his three friends. And what did Daniel do? He went through the proper channels, and he asked for permission that he might interpret the dream for the king. And then he asked his three friends to join with him in prayer so that God would reveal the dream and its interpretation to Daniel. And that's what God did. And Daniel explained to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, that in the dream, and this is the passage Laura read for us, he saw an enormous statue with a head of gold, a chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, with legs of iron, partly of iron and partly of baked clay. Then a rock cut by no human hand struck the statue and smashed it. Then the rock became a huge mountain that filled the whole earth. And David went on to explain that the dream was about successive human kingdoms, beginning with that of Nebuchadnezzar. And all these human kingdoms, however, will be overthrown, and in their place, God will set up his kingdom, which would be an eternal kingdom. Now, in a sense, God used this dream to explain to Nebuchadnezzar that God himself had placed Nebuchadnezzar on the throne, and that Nebuchadnezzar would have a relatively long and prosperous reign. And in verses 37 and 38, Daniel says, you, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. Now, it's not a case of who knows the future. This is the point we're considering. Nor is it a case of who holds the future, because the fact is that God determines the future. And this, in fact, was the message given to King Nebuchadnezzar, so that he would humbly submit to the God of heaven. And if you look at all of chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, we note that God is referred to this very exalted title, the God of heaven. And it's in verses 18, 19, 28, 37, and 40. And for those of you who understand Chinese, you might be interested to know that the Chinese Bible translate this exalted title as Tianshan, the Shen. And this refers to the God who is above the heavens, and indeed God who is the creator of the heavens. You cannot have a more exalted title, and that is the God who revealed the content and the interpretation of the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. Have you noticed the sermon title that's been chosen for today's sermon? Very interesting sermon title. And the sermon title is Lord of the Kings. And even though in verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar was called King of Kings, that is, amongst human kings, he still had a Lord and Master. He still had a real king above him, a Lord above him, and that's the God of heaven. It is this God who holds the future. It is this God who determines the future. It is this God that you and I must trust in no matter what we face in life. And that's what Daniel learnt. Our second point is our attitude to the future. And it's quite interesting and instructive to compare the attitudes of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was calm when he was told that all the wise men would be executed. He urged his friends to join with him in prayer to plead for mercy from God, and he humbly waited for God to reveal Nebuchadnezzar's dream and its interpretation. And we know throughout the book of Daniel that Daniel was willing to serve Nebuchadnezzar to the best of his ability, because he believed that Nebuchadnezzar was only placed there as king because of God's plan. Now, we haven't read Daniel chapter 7, but in Daniel chapter 7 is recorded the dream that God gave Daniel. Chapter 2, a dream God gives the king Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter 7, a dream that God gives Daniel. And this dream was given to Daniel to explain what was going to happen in the future. And in this dream, Daniel saw a succession of awesome beasts which represent human kingdoms. But at the end of this dream, Daniel saw that these kingdoms would be overthrown by the kingdom of God. And if you have time to read chapter 7, you'll see that in verse 14, there is a clear reference to the fulfillment of Daniel's dream that would become a reality with the coming of Jesus Christ. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. Well, we are told that Daniel was troubled in spirit. This is chapter 7, verses 15 and 28. Why do you think he might have been troubled in spirit? And it was because, we haven't had time to read chapter 7, in the dream, he was told that the faithful people of God, who are called his saints, over the ages are going to be oppressed. You can look particularly at verse 25 of chapter 7. So on the one hand, Daniel's faith was strengthened, because God had graciously revealed to him in outline what was going to happen. And more importantly, God underlined that the future was in God's hands and that all God's enemies would be defeated and that God's kingdom would be established. But on the other hand, Daniel knew that it would not be easy to choose to remain faithful to God. Well, that's the attitude of Daniel. What about the attitude of Nebuchadnezzar? When he had the dream, he was deeply troubled. But when the dream was explained to him, this is what he said to Daniel. It's verse 47 of chapter 2. Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. And then Nebuchadnezzar placed Daniel as ruler of the entire province of Babylon, and that was the most important province of the entire empire. And at the same time, the three friends of Daniel, mentioned in chapter 1, were appointed as administrators over this province of Babylon. Can you see what's happening here? Through these events, God was providing for his people, the Jews, during this long period of their exile in Babylon. But in the next chapter, make sure you come next Sunday, Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold and made all the people bow down and worship it. And so his honor and respect for the God of heaven, the God of heaven who made him Nebuchadnezzar king, didn't last very long. Now, for us Christians, the New Testament, and especially the book of Revelation, tells us about what will happen in the future. And of course it's quite difficult to understand the details, but the big picture is clear. All the kings of this world will be overthrown by the kingdom of God. All the powers of evil will be overcome by the kingdom of God. And those faithful to God in all ages are going to suffer and be persecuted. But Christians throughout the ages are challenged to remain faithful to the end, because in the end we will share in the victory of Christ. This is actually a challenge for all of us. Do we truly believe that God holds the future? Are we willing, no matter what, to hold God's hand as we face the future? The third point we want to look at is our attitude to the king. We need to consider our attitude to the true king, who is the Lord of the kings. Now, for a moment, as we saw, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged God as the true king. But he soon forgot that it was God who had given him the kingship. So for most of his fairly long reign, he had turned his back on God, who was the true king. Daniel, on the other hand, was resolute, unshaken, in serving God as the true king. He served a succession of Babylonian kings, and the Medo-Persian king, whose name is Darius, because he knew that these kings were placed on their respective thrones by God himself. Now, Daniel sets the model for us. We are called in this world to serve God, who is the true king. And as the Apostle Paul explains in Romans chapter 13, we are also called to serve our earthly masters, whether they be kings or governments. They, in turn, our earthly masters, are accountable to God himself. But to be honest, how many of us are often like King Nebuchadnezzar? That is, we acknowledge God to be king with our lips, but we live our lives day by day as if we ourselves are king over our own lives. And I encourage you to spend time to study carefully the dreams of chapters 2 and 7 and look more closely at the detail. And if you do that, you cannot but be in awe at how great God is. And the more we realize our God is great, the more we should be spurred on to live humbly before our King. And our last point is to look at the goal of history. Because the book of Daniel is emphatic that human history is in God's hands. God raises and deposes kings according to his plan and according to his purpose. And indeed, if you look at Proverbs 21 verse 1, it declares there, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He, that is the Lord, directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. History doesn't just happen. History unfolds just as God plans it. It heads towards the goal which God has determined, and that goal is the setting up of his eternal kingdom. And Daniel chapter 7 explains that all the authority, glory, and power of God's kingdom is given to the Son of Man. And the New Testament explains that Jesus is the Son of Man that Daniel saw in his dream. And indeed, there's more. Because at the end of Daniel chapter 7, verse 27, it's pointed out the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. In other words, at the end, believers, we will rule together with Jesus. So this setting forth in the book of Daniel of the goal of history and the fact that the goal of history is in God's hands is meant to encourage and strengthen Christians to remain faithful to God throughout human history until Christ comes again at the end of the world. Well, friends, have no doubt whatsoever. The future is in God's hands. And despite all the chaos we see around us, God does have a purpose and a plan. This is not just for the whole world, but it's also for your individual life and for mine. Are you willing to be God's faithful servant? Hold him by his hand and walk day by day with him. Please join together with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of Daniel and his example to us in trusting you implicitly in the difficult and challenging situations he faced. And we pray for us in the week ahead that we might hold your hand and continue to trust in you and apply your word into our lives. And we pray that you enable us to do this through the help and enabling of the Holy Spirit. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.